Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church with you on this wonderful Wednesday morning, May 26th. We have Psalm 74 on tap. We have a hot day here in Maryland on tap for today. You know, it was hot on Sunday and then cooler, and now it's going to be hot today, and then it's going to get cooler, and by Saturday, it's going to be kind of cold. So this May has just been strange. It never seems to want to be May. It wants to be March or April. It wants to be July. Like, I kind of enjoy May weather. I was kind of hoping for that, you know, 75 degrees, lowish humidity, kind of, you know, that kind of weather. Well, the Lord is sovereign, and we trust him, and we take what he sends us, and we're thankful for it. And this morning, we're thankful for Psalm 74. Psalm 74 is continuing in our final series here on the Psalms of Asaph. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us a new day of life. Thank you for loving us so powerfully, so profoundly, so personally through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for drawing us to Christ by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us eternal life and cleansing us of all of our sin. Father, be with us now as we look to you. Be our God and our guide through your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 74 is a maskil of Asaph. It's a maskil of Asaph, which tells us, it's a teaching psalm. It's meant to instruct us. And for us, today, reading this, it can be good instruction for us of how we should go through devastating times, difficult times, suffering, when it seems like God has forgotten his people or has abandoned us or is even judging us, which could be profoundly relevant to many of us in this day and age. And so let's get into Psalm 74. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. The foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs. They were like those who swing axes in a forest of trees, and all its carved wood they broke down with hatchets and hammers. They set your sanctuary on fire. They profaned the dwelling place of your name, bringing it to the ground. They said to themselves, "We will utterly subdue them." They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, and there is none among us who knows how long. How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the fold of your garment and destroy them. Yet God, my King, is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun. You have fixed the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant, For the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of those who rise against you, which goes up continually. That is Psalm 74. The emphasis in Psalm 74 in this prayer to God is on God's might and power. Notice that God is called God, which is Elohim, which is mighty ones. It's actually plural in the Hebrew. It is a reference to God's power and strength. This is what he's called most often upon as in Psalm 74. Here in verse 1, and then we see it here again in verse 10, and then we see it here again in verse 12, God, my King. And notice this stanza is really focusing on the might, the power of God. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads. You crushed the heads. You split open. You dried up. All these power actions of God. Looking back on the Exodus. And only once is God referred to as the Lord, Yahweh, his covenant name. And it's here in this stanza of 18 to 21, where there is an appeal to the covenant. Remember this, O Lord, and then it's have regard for the covenant. And then it's back to arise, O God, defend your cause. Why the emphasis on the strength and power of God? Well, it's because Israel has come under attack. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed by an overwhelmingly powerful enemy. This is probably written immediately after the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And so this is written in the face of an overwhelmingly powerful and destructive enemy who has come in and ruined God's people and God's house. So this is written by Asaph. It's interesting, if you do a little bit of a study on this in Chronicles and Kings and other places, you'll find that Asaph really represents a line of people. The original Asaph was appointed by David to lead the singing and the giving of thanks in what would be the temple that Solomon would build before the people of God. But then there's a reference to an Asaph later at the time of exile and a different Asaph in the restoration from exile who were also leading the singing of God's people. So it seems like Asaph was a man who was appointed, and of course his descendants, offices in among God's people were lineal. They were passed down father to son from generation to generation. And so there were several men named Asaph, and it almost came to stand for that office, the leader of the singing of God's people. So this Asaph would have led God's people in singing at the temple. So you can see why the temple would be near and dear to his heart, even more so than it would be for all the people of God. Of course, all the people of God would look to the temple as the place where they met with God, the place of God's footstool on earth, the place of where heaven and earth touched one another in the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant. So when the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the temple and they laid waste the sanctuary, everyone would have been upset and grieved. And Asaph pens this psalm to lead the community in lament. So this is what we call a communal lament. It's why do you cast us off? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation. From David, we get a lot of personal laments, right? Oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? The waters have come against me. The enemy has surrounded me. This is a communal lament. There are times when it is appropriate and right and God-honoring for the people of God communally as the people of God to lament before God, especially at times when our witness to the world is weak, when we are lukewarm and compromised, when the enemy has come in to the sanctuary and destroyed everything. And I would say that today happens when Satan comes into the church and misleads God's people so that the things of God that should be used for God are used instead for what are really satanic purposes: the glory of man, celebrity, fame, wealth, power, pleasure, success, right? So this is a time for us as the people of God to lament. Notice they've set up their own signs for signs, right? They're like those who are swinging axes in a forest of trees. This is what happens when God's church is devastated by people who are coming in and who are looking to do harm to the name of God and the cause of God because they are misleading and misguiding the people of God. And I think that this is where we are today as a church, especially the so-called evangelical church in America. I think this is where we are. We've become worldly and compromised. We've become lukewarm. We've become interested in worldly things, whether that's politics and political power, or health and wealth and prosperity, or your best life now, or what have you, or celebrity pastors, or celebrity musicians. You know, we've seen so many celebrity pastors and celebrity musicians fall from grace as they have, quote-unquote, deconstructed their faith. Well, what are they doing? Well, they're setting up their own signs for signs, aren't they? They're like those who swing axes in a forest of trees. I don't care who this hurts. I don't care who gets in my way. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I'm not going to be held in by this God anymore. I'm going to live my life with my quote-unquote freedom that I'm going to enjoy, and I'm going to get what I want out of the world. That is satanic destruction to the people of God, and it should break our hearts, and it should cause us to lament. Because at times it can look like that side is winning, the forces of unbelief, the forces of skepticism, the forces of anti-God, you know, self-exalting reason and desire for so-called freedom. This is the enemy of God coming in among God's people and just devastating. And so we ask for God to act. Notice the question initially is why? Why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke? But then there's not really an answer to the why question. And so the question shifts to how long, O God? And then it is, why do you hold back? Not necessarily why are you doing this, but Lord, would you please act? Would you please come with your strength and your power and destroy the enemy and save your people? And then there's a reminder, there's a rehearsal. So in the midst of communal lament, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of compromise and destruction and disheartening things happening in the world, we need to look up and we need to look back. Look up and look back. Notice here, verses 10 and 11, there's a looking up. How long, O God, is the enemy to scoff? Is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the fold of your garment and destroy them. So there's a looking up to God, and then there's a looking back to the faithfulness of God and to the power of God to save his people in the past. And here this reference is to the Exodus, to the power of God dividing the sea, right? Working salvation. God led his people through the Red Sea, divided, right? And probably the sea monsters and Leviathan are probably ways of referring to Pharaoh and his army. That's what most scholars think. This is a poetic reference to Pharaoh and his army. So if God could wipe out Pharaoh and his army and lead his people in salvation out of Egypt, could not God destroy Nebuchadnezzar and his army and lead God's people out of captivity to Babylon and into the promised land? Of course he could, because he has everything in control. Yours is the day, yours also is the night. You've established the heavenly lights and the sun. You fixed all boundaries of the earth. You made summer and winter. God has all things in his hands. And so he says, remember. And now he calls on the covenant name of the Lord. Remember this, O Lord. Right? Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant. Have regard for the covenant. For the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Arise, O God. Defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Wow, what a prayer for us to pray now for the church today. Verse 22. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. We live in an age of uproar against God, which goes up continually. And so what better thing is there for us to pray than Psalm 74? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, oh, how the enemy has come in to your church, to your sanctuary, to your people, with worldliness, with distraction, with deception, with deconstruction. The devil is making hay out of your people. And the world scoffs, and the world mocks. Why, O Lord? We may not know the answer to that question. We certainly have been sinful. We certainly have been faithless to the covenant. We have not preached your word. We have not worshiped your name. We have not proclaimed your gospel. We have not been committed to your mission in the world, the Great Commission. We have instead been distracted by 101 other things. How high-tech can we make our worship services? How showy, how flashy, how entertaining? How relevant can we shape our messages to be so that those who come will feel like they got something out of it, rather than seeing your name lifted up and you will draw all men to yourself? Oh, Father, arise and defend your people from this nefarious enemy. Arise and defend your people from the deceptions of the devil. And bring our hearts back to you, O God. Forgive us, have mercy on us, and bring our hearts back to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today was a little heavier, more somber psalm, but we need those at times, right? We need to realize, yes, God is good, God is great, God is powerful, and God is faithful. But the reality is that we are so often not, and we suffer the consequences of our sin, and we do need to lament at times. Lament is the most common form of psalm that we're given, and a communal lament seems appropriate for such a time as this. So I would encourage you to continue to read through and pray through Psalm 74. This is one that I preached on last summer, so you can find a fuller treatment of this in my sermon from last summer, which is available on Sermon Audio. But I just pray that we would really allow ourselves to meditate on the things that are important and have our heart be moved by what God calls us to. Well, have a blessed day in the Lord, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Friday morning for Psalm 75.